This is the January 23 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. A special program today pulled in part from the FarmDoc Daily webinar held on Thursday morning with Joanna Colucci from the University of Illinois talking about Brazil and Argentina and crop production there. And Paulina Lescano joined her from Argentina, where she lives in La Pampa. She's a grains analyst. You can find her online at paulinalescano.com. And then we paired that with a conversation which we had with Joe Jansen at the U of I, along with Kurt Kimmel of AgMarket.net about the commodity markets in general. It's a great show. Stay with us here at Illinois Public Media. We'll pick up first with that FarmDoc webinar, which you can watch in full at youtube.com/@FarmDoc. At the end of the webinar, I asked Paulina Lescano to introduce herself. She's a grains analyst, as you might recall.
Well, yes, as you told, I am an agricultural engineer. I am grain analyst. My main work is to advise farmers to follow their commercial position, so they can decide when to sell the grain and how to cover it from the volatility. I give speeches. Companies hire me to give a talk in different countries. Even in I was in United States. This is my main focus. I work in the business almost for 25 years until now. I work in a company, in an exporter, a broker, and finally, I work by my own as advisor.
Can you tell me a little as well about what you see on the ground in Argentina today? We talk about this often on the radio programs that I host. The condition of particularly the corn and the soybean crops. I know they're like here in the United States, they're in a wide range of growing season periods there. But can you give me a rough idea of how the La Nina has impacted growth and what your concerns might be for the crop?
Well, I think the La Nina wasn't so hard as we thought previously. And we, until the beginning of January, we had a really good condition all over the country. And as Joanna told perfectly, we have different situations. I think the main problem is in the north of Buenos Aires and south of Santa Fe. That is the main productive area of the country. This is a huge problem because that area, it has the worst scenario for almost three crops, the next. So this is the worst problem in our country. But if you go to other provinces, for example, almost 70% of the soybean and corn, we can have it in Cordoba and Buenos Aires province. We have different situations, but in general, we have a good condition in corn and soybean. And as Joanna told us, the best condition is for crops that are in vegetative stages. And in the case of soybean, the first planted soybean, it is in general in good condition. The worst scenario for soybean is the second planted soybean that is planted after, for example, wheat. So the soil was without any water. And after that, we have a hot period and without rains. So in general, I think we will have a good harvest this year.
That would not be what the trade has been talking about, generally speaking, because you're following the commodity markets every day. Do you have a different view of, clearly you have a different view of the marketplace and what the pressure on it might be because of the size of the crop coming out of Argentina?
No, I don't have a different point of view, but I think we still have, we continue in the run. I think we have some losses that we can not recover. For example, I think maybe the Rosario Grain Exchange talk about 2 million tons of losses in corn production. But I think we will still have the possibility to have 50 million tons of corn and 50 million tons of soybean. I think this is a good harvest for our country. I think what the market was seeing is the possibility that the weather wasn't getting more rains. And what we are seeing the last 2 weeks is different rains in different areas that are making the possibility that yields continue to stabilize and not to continue falling down. So I think what the market was seeing, or the rally that we saw, is an opportunity for farmers to take that prices, because I think finally between Brazil and Argentina, we will have a really good harvest. So that is the way that I see it.
As a reminder, yeah, we're talking with Paulina Lascano. She is in Argentina at paulinalascano.com. Joanna Calusi is with us as well from the University of Illinois. She's located in Brazil today, in her home state, in the southern part of that nation. You have something you wanted to follow up with, and we have some questions, too, that are coming in from our audience that we'll get to. But you had some thoughts, Joanna, that you wanted to include.
Yeah, just to clarify, when you say early soybean and late soybean, how much percent of the total soybean production in Argentina are late and early, just to have that
yes,
better picture? I'm not familiar.
Yes, 70%, almost 75% of the soybean production in Argentina is the first season that you call the early planted. Is the first season soybean.
And they are in good condition.
Yes. They are in good condition. In almost the majority of the area, if you go to the north of Buenos Aires and south of Santa Fe, you can see some farms that they're lost almost everything. But in general, they are in good condition. The second planted soybean that represents less than 30%, it is in worse condition, but it is in vegetative state. So if rains come from now on, we can have hopes that soybean would be in good shape, because they are, as you show in the pictures, they are in really first stages of, so if they receive good rains, they could have potential.
So I have a follow-up, and I was going to ask that same question, Joanna, as well with you, because here in the United States, we'll have something like 86.1 million acres of harvested soybeans from this last season, and that includes what we consider the first crop, which we simply call soybeans for the whole year. And then we have second crop soybeans, which are planted again after wheat mostly. Sometimes yeah, we refer to them as wheat beans. So is the second season just an abbreviated season in Argentina? I assume it's far enough south that the season's short.
Yes,
enough,
exactly.
That that is the
yes,
case.
They are short. They have a small time to develop. Yes, the same that you said, they planted after the wheat. So that is why this year in La Niña year, soils were after the wheat, almost without any millimeters.
And generally speaking, a much lower yield than the full season soybean.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, what do logistics in Argentina look like today?
We are a much small country than Brazil, and the characteristic that we have is that almost 80% of the all grains produced in the country are shipped, by an area of almost 100 kilometers. So we have a big, big concentration of companies and areas where all the trucks have to go. So this is our biggest bottleneck. It is okay in English. The bottleneck of our logistic is that we have to concentrate all the logistic in a 100 kilometer companies that are located in the Paraná River. So this is our bottleneck, if you want. And as the same in Brazil, almost maybe 90% of our harvest is moved by truck. So this is a problem too, and it is much expensive than, for example, in United States, that you use a lot of rivers and everything. So this is the common with Brazil. With Brazil, we have a truck dependence, and the difference with Brazil is that we have 80% of our going out to the other countries in one small area.
And can deep port vessels make it all the way to the most northern portions of the Paraná there, the top of that 90 kilometers to load?
Oh yes, this is other big problem, because we have that concentration and a big dependence on the Paraná River high water high. So if we have, for example, La Niña, or we have a drought problem, for example, in Brazil, in the Amazonas and everything, big ships can't go to the ports of Paraná River. So the ships have to finish the charge in the ports of the south of Buenos Aires. So we have a really dependence on the weather, not only to have crops, but to ship our harvest to the world.
One yes. Last question, Paulina, for you. And I think you addressed this early on, but are you suggesting to producers that you advise that they sell their crop earlier rather than later?
Yes, I advise my clients to take advantage of the rally prices that we are seeing, for example, for Trump volatility or for weather climate volatility, because I think we continue in a situation where we will have a huge amount of soybean from Brazil and from Argentina too, but especially from Brazil, that is difficult to allow market, especially in soybean, to continue to having a big increase. So my best advice maybe is to take advantage of the rally to begin to put prices, to put floors prices, so they are covered. In any case, begin to see Mato Grosso farmers with the huge machines harvesting the huge crop. So this is my advice.
And I just say, remember that when I talk about South America, 170 million metric tons from Brazil, plus 52 million metric tons from Argentina, plus 12 million metric tons from Paraguay, a little bit from Uruguay, you are talking a crop season over 230 million metric tons in South America. It's a record. It's a lot of soybeans on the market. I know that's not a good news for farmers that like to see the prices going up, but when you see a lot of supply, I mean, there is no way to fight against that in terms of supply and demand.
Joanna Colucci is with the University of Illinois, part of the FarmDog team, joined us along with Paulina Lascano, who is from Argentina, for our webinar hosted on Thursday morning. Now we are turning our attention to Joe Jansen and Kurt Kimmel. Joe, of course, a member of the FarmDog team at the U of I, Kurt with AgMarket.net. Joe, let's pick up on some of the themes that took place in this last Oh, a few minutes here as we're related to South America, but more broadly, the global fundamentals. We know, at least at this point in time, that both Joanna and Paulina believe, as well as USDA, that there is a record-sized soybean crop coming out of South America. You can talk about corn as well, but begin with the fundamentals across the global space as it relates to those two crops.
Yeah, I think the big thing that is that we're going to see record global stocks of beans this year. Whether, you know, even despite, you know, the cutbacks in U.S. supply that we saw from USDA a couple of weeks ago in that January WASDE, record crops, over 30% stocks to use globally for soybeans. That's kind of what's weighed on this market, kind of kept us from that bean market from really following the corn market higher. We've obviously seen, you know, a strong rally in the corn market the last few months. That's a big marketing opportunity, in part just because the U.S. is a much bigger part of the global S&D for corn relative to beans. What happens in South America really affects that bean market, and we're really going to fill up the global granary, so to speak, on beans this year.
When you tell us that there is a 30% stocks to use ratio, what does that compare to over time?
We've in the last couple of decades seen that stocks to use ratio typically in that, you know, between 20 and 30%. So 30 is relative. We saw that sort of post China US trade war in 2018-19. We saw stocks to use kind of hop up in part because we were holding a lot of beans here in the United States. This is a little bit different. It's the stocks are not necessarily all here in the U.S., but the effect is the same. The market is well supplied.
And I would guess, and I'll get to you in a moment here, Kurt, but I want to understand one more thing, that because that stocks to use ratio represents a crop that is mostly consumed not in the countries that are producing it, and the bulk of the crop from the United States, the bulk of the crop from Brazil are both going out of the country, that it really does make a difference that fundamentally we are on the top end of that scale at 30%.
That's right. I mean, it doesn't sort of matter where in the world those beans are. If the market knows it, they're out there, it can go get them from wherever, and price will do the job. Cash markets will do the job of pulling those beans from wherever in the world they are to wherever we need them.
Can we see that, Kurt, in the rally that has taken place in the marketplace? So is corn dragging soybeans along with them, respectively, as it's made its move higher?
Well, we've seen some surprisingly positive news here that we weren't expecting here. The USDA crop report, of course, a little uncertainty on weather in the southern hemisphere. Then two, China picking on Brazil here for a change on maybe some pesticides in some of their beans and maybe canceling some beans here. So we've had some surprisingly good news to help the beans follow corn somewhat, yes. But as you mentioned there, those beans are going to come on the world market here fairly quickly. There's a dollar difference between Brazilian beans and U.S. beans. So I believe you're going to find some buyers here at some point in time. We can talk logistics and so forth, but the main thing on the bean complex is, if you look at a long-term price chart, the $11 mark seems to be a swing point on it. The ag market team's pointed that out several times. So the question is, can these old bean futures move much above $11 or not? If you go back about a couple of weeks, we were looking at that daily price chart in the November beans. We were talking about the right shoulder, and it did form the right shoulder. We got lucky and moved higher here. And the upside price objective there was about 1080. So with the South American crop coming on and these beans meeting the upside objectives here, technically, we might be running out of some steam here in the next week or so.
And so we have to watch that very closely. Have you, and I believe this is the case, been all along saying, you know, on this rally, this is the time to finish marketing, to catch up marketing, to just market?
We're about 300% sold. There's nothing worse than selling something, anything, and find out it's higher price down the road. But no, we've been moving into it. For guys that sold early, we were fortunate enough to have a few get some call replacements on. We've rolled those up and starting to slip out and say enough's enough for right now. Because basically, if we keep going higher from here, our main theme is let these old crop beans pull new crop beans up and get started on 25.
Is that something you look at and follow and are thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously know that, you know, new crop prices aren't where old crop levels are at. So it's not quite as attractive to market new crop beans, or hasn't been. But we're starting to get to the point where you'd want to start thinking seriously, both in terms of where we're at in the calendar, moving into that sort of February, March period, where I think you sort of start to really think about marketing new crop, but also those new crop, both corn and bean futures have moved higher. We're, you know, in that 460-ish range on new crop corn. That's a level at which you sort of start thinking about, you know, it's not an amazing price level. But it's one where we may not get too many opportunities, you know, at levels far in excess of that. It's a level to start thinking about.
You know, what do you think, both of you, the range, at least at this point, when with a normal crop season in the United States and, I don't know, a 92.5 or 93 million acres, maybe a 94 million acre corn crop, what do you think kind of range-wise you would look at? For them to trade in? Is it a 420 to 485, 490? Is it a narrow range is what I'm trying to ask for December?
So new crop futures, and you sort of think about what's the long run price level, and the FarmDoc team's done some work on that. You can find it on FarmDoc Daily. That long run price level for corn is a number that's somewhere between 4 and 450. And we need tight supplies to get us above 450. That's what we have had. That's what we've seen in the last couple of months. And the question is sort of, you know, from, you know, going into a new crop year, are we going to get something like that, that moves us outside of that 4 to 450 range?
I want to follow up because to understand the supply and demand table and what a tight supply is, I think reflects the stocks to use ratio, which is 10.1% or something thereabouts for new crop, 9.9 for maybe old crop. I don't quite recall, but they're not very far apart. They're right at the 10%. Is 10% a regular stocks to use ratio? And does that mean 1.57 is kind of a midpoint for carryout?
So 10% stocks to use is a rule of thumb that I think a lot of other market analysts would say is that, you know, a level that's sort of a knife edge level. Below that, we sort of get to be pretty tight. We're kind of on that knife edge right now, going into a new crop year where we expect to see, you know, a substantial surge in corn acres that might kind of, you know, change that situation back to where we thought we were a couple months ago, which was, you know, abundant supplies for corn.
So given all of that information and your history and background in trading the marketplace, I suspect you're going to tell me that there will be opportunities, particularly because we were at, because our carryout is as, I won't call it tight, but in the area that it is, that the knife's edge can slip pretty quickly, particularly to the downside.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of market in front of us, a lot of moving parts in front of us. You know, who knows? We're looking at maybe some ample supplies. But on the corn, if you go back to May, early in the supply-demand balance sheet, we were looking at carryout 2.2, 2.3 billion. We're down to 1.5. So that's huge. Now, the function of the market has been to move back up to maybe that price area. The thing about stocks to use, I appreciate that, but I'm from the early 80s. In the early 80s, we had stocks use on corn and beans about 50%, wheat 100%. We had CC supplies in the grain bins, and there's no way physically the market can go up, but we had a good old-fashioned drought and off we went. So you got to stay flexible in your marketing, but respect the world supply demand balance sheet and respect that if we get in a favorable weather pattern, it's going to be awful hard to see the market go up to the higher end. As far as old crop prices, the JSA team had this $5 on corn, $11 on beans, kind of the upper end. And I'll have a lot more knowledge of the new crop prices after we have our seminar in Nashville in February. They're going to release what their projections are, goalposts that is, on the upside and downside.
So no preview today from you on that. But if you go to agmarket.net, of course, you can find the Nashville event. I'm told that it is just a magnificent place to go. I want to say that's February 2, 3, and 4, correct?
Yeah, we'll start off. I'm gonna get down there Saturday night and see what's going on. But we'll start off after lunch on Sunday, have a good session, and then all day Monday. And we have a fairly neat lineup. You can see that lineup at agmarket.net website.
Yeah, so one of the people that Joanna happened to mention during today's webinar on Thursday, Dan Bossi, will be with you this year again, too, down there.
Yeah, he does an excellent job. And we got a whole list. We got the head of Rural King coming, so maybe he'll have some 50% off coupons for us.
All right. Well, that would be fun. Let me tell you also that if you can wait another month or you want to do both, and certainly the All-Day Ag Outlook is easier to get to, it's coming up on Tuesday, the 4th day of March. So put that one in your calendar at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Both of these folks will be there. And in between, you can always catch up with the Farm Doc team and their webinar series. In fact, Joanna was on this Thursday. Joe was on last week to kick them off. There are four more of those to go. That whole series, there are six of them, on YouTube at youtube.com/@FarmDoc. That's at FarmDoc, or just search FarmDoc under the YouTube search engine and you will find them. Okay, so with all of those commercials out of the way, let's finalize some advice for producers at this point. Old crop, do they clean up what they have mostly? And do they get started on new crop for corn and soybeans?
Yeah, I think there's less and less reason to wait. We've seen carry in the bean or in the corn market kind of get eroded here in the last, you know, few days again. There's kind of little incentive to hold on to old crop bushels. On new crop, I mean, I am typically not of the mind that, you know, one needs to act right away, but I think this is a situation where, you know, that this market has rallied and it's worth paying close attention to going forward.
Yeah, old crop, we've been pushing it out the door. We've done some cash replacement strategies. I think you can go clear out to July on those now with some covered positions. That way, if we get in some weather, you can try to capture a little bit more onto the upside there. But we're in the mindset here on new crop, defend 450 and 1050. 450 on Dease corn and 11 or 1050 on November bean futures. Put that price floor in. Basically, if we have good weather, and we run in some trade issues and these beans go to $8, you're covered. But if we run in to make farming great again and all of a sudden things take off, we get hot and dry, you can turn around and sell that crop higher. So I think that is the best strategy you can even look at, is putting a price floor in, say, come get me. I can sell my cash higher. If it goes down, I've got my cash covered with some floors.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like. You can do that on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Our program today was pulled in part an excerpt from the Farm Doc Daily webinar that took place on Thursday morning. You can find that at youtube.com/@FarmDoc. It included Joanna Colusi from the UOVIME, along with Paulina Lescano, who is from Argentina, a grain analyst there, found at paulinalescano.com online. And then we talked a bit later in that same day with Joe Jansen from the University of Illinois and Kurt Kimmel from agmarket.net. I'm Todd Gleason.